us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Your word is pure. Your word is true. Your word is so much more than just words upon a page. It is a mirror that reflects to us how our lives should be, how we can glorify you every day of our lives. So, Lord, as we search your word, open our hearts and our minds to your truth and guide us as you would lead us through your word this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. There is just something about Jesus. There's something about him that draws people. Every time we read about Jesus in the Bible, he was surrounded by people. So much so that he had to make a point of taking the time to get away, to spend time with the Father in prayer. Wherever Jesus went, crowds would gather. Crowds that were made up of the sick, the hungry, those who knew that they needed a Savior, those who knew that they needed a friend in God. There was also the religious crowd, the do and the don't people. They came to see Jesus, to see what he was all about, what he had to say, where he got his power to perform all his wonderful miracles, and how he could speak the truth with such authority. People from every segment of society, from the young to the old, from the poor to the rich, and from the self-righteous to the poor in spirit, were drawn to Jesus. They knew that this was no ordinary man, and they wanted to find out more. They listened, they saw, they thought. Some believed, some didn't. Some wanted to know him more, to seek him more. Others wanted to kill him. Jesus had come to initiate the kingdom of God upon this earth, the kingdom that you and I have been called to operate in, and the kingdom that will be truly manifest when Jesus comes back to rule the earth. He came to tell the people and to tell us that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that only through him that people could know the Father, their Maker. He lived, he taught, and he exemplified the truth. People noticed. They wanted to know more. And one of those people was Nicodemus. I'm sure that all of you know who Nicodemus was. That's because you probably hear this passage of Scripture more than any other. I preached on this passage more than any other passage. It is so full of truth that it deserves to be looked at again and again and again. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He lived his life in full devotion to the Mosaic and the Levitical law, plus a few hundred more that people thought they would throw in just for good measure, because they thought that they could please God through man-made rules, regulations, and religion. Even this man, a Pharisee, and a member of the Jewish ruling council, was drawn to Jesus, and he sought him out at night. We aren't told why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. Some say it was because he was afraid to be seen with Jesus during the day. I think that it was perhaps because it was the only time that Nicodemus could find Jesus alone. Nicodemus was on a mission to find out the truth. So he came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you were doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus had seen the power of Jesus' teaching. He had seen the miracles that he had performed, and he wanted to know more. But did you notice how Jesus answered? He didn't say, "Well, thank you, Nicodemus. Those are nice words, and it's very nice of you to say that." Instead, Jesus got to the heart of the matter. He got to the real issue. And that was the salvation of Nicodemus. Jesus knew that this man's religion, his rules and his regulations would never provide him with eternal life in heaven. Jesus had to show him that in order to be saved, a person first needs to know that they are lost. And before a person can truly be forgiven, they have to know that they need forgiveness. And before a person can enter into the kingdom of God, both in this life and in the life to come, they need to be born again. Nicodemus was seeking this truth, and he got it. In fact, we learn that he accepted this truth, because later on in the Bible, we see that he chose to make Jesus his Lord and his Savior. Because not only did he stand up for Jesus at the Jewish council, he was right there with Joseph of Arimathea when the body of Jesus was being prepared for burial. And those are the kind of things you just don't do if you don't believe. Nicodemus was willing to give up his reputation and his position on the ruling council, all because of Jesus. Nicodemus was seeking more. The crowds around Jesus were seeking more. The religious folk were seeking more. We see it time and time again in the Bible. But seeking Jesus didn't stop at the end of the New Testament. People are seeking Jesus today. People are in search of something. And they won't know that it is Jesus they're searching for unless we tell them. There are so many hurting and broken people in the world around us. So many who have no passion for life anymore. So many who are just hanging on. Even those who seem to have it all know that there has to be more than what this life can offer. Look at all the so-called successful people in the world today who are alcoholics or on drugs or getting in trouble with the law. Look at all the people in our own community who are struggling with depression, with anxiety, with brokenness, heartache, and all sorts of emotional problems. They are seeking the one who can make them whole again. But who is out there telling them that their answer can only be found in Jesus? We need to get busy. Sometimes we get people who come into our church who are seeking Jesus. They have heard about him. They want to know more about him. God is calling to them and working upon their hearts. And so they begin the search for the truth that Jesus offers, the truth that will set them free. That's why I never apologize for preaching from the Bible. I've been told by some that they would rather hear me preach about the current affairs going on in the world. I've even been called a Bible thumper by some. Well, maybe I am. But whatever you want to call it, I'm going to keep on doing it. Because it is the Bible where the truth can be found. The truth that will lead people to Jesus. And the truth that will set people free. People are seeking Jesus. They need Jesus. Probably more now than ever, they are seeking the truth. But what about us here today? You may say, well, I've come to Jesus. I've asked him to be my Lord and my Savior, so I guess I'm found. I'm born again. Well, that part may be true. But the reality is that we should never stop seeking Jesus. When we are born again, when we have sought Jesus and truly found him for ourselves, that is really the very beginning of our journey. And we need to seek Jesus every day. We need to seek his will for our lives. We need to seek his answers for the problems that we face. We need to seek him more and more so that we can know him more and more. Jesus is fathomless. He is endless. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And the only way that you and I can grow in him and be the people that he has called us to truly be is to truly seek him every day of our lives. So you may ask, how do we seek Jesus? It's simple. You Even the children told us how. You do it by putting Him and Him alone first in your life. Your plans, your finances, your family, your work. All these things need to take second place to Jesus. You seek Him by spending time with Him, seeking His will in prayer, spending time in His presence, and listening for His voice. You read His Word, allowing His Word to be the source of all truth for our lives, and meditating on His Word, allowing His truth to fill your lives. You get involved in ministry. You start serving and allow God to lead you and show you your true gifts and abilities. You become His hands and His feet to the world around you. These are all ways that we seek Jesus in our lives. But some people say, well, I just don't have time to do all those things. I don't have any time in my schedule. Well, then maybe it's time that instead of trying to arrange God around our schedules, we start arranging our schedules around God. If you are serious about being the person that God wants you to be and needs you to be in this world, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to reading your Bible every day. Challenge yourself to spend time with Him each day in prayer. And challenge yourself by stepping out and serving Him in ministry. Do something where God can work in you and work through you for His glory. When you do, your life will never be the same again. And if you are already doing something in ministry that is comfortable, challenge yourself to serving God in ways that make you uncomfortable. When you do, you will grow, and you will be amazed at what God does in your life. That's what happens when seekers seek God. Amazing things happen. It happened to Nicodemus, and it can happen to you. You and I are called to be in a relationship with the Lord. It's our created purpose. But what good is a relationship if you don't spend any time with the other person? When we seek God, when we spend time with Jesus and serve Him in new ways, our trust in Him will grow, and we will be led onto greater and bigger things. You see, we're not called to live by rules and regulations. We're called to live life in the Spirit, and that life is an exciting life. In verse 8, Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." That's an exciting life. Being led by the Spirit of God every day of our lives. That's what our life will be like when we are born again and seek Him and His will every day. The first point this morning is really just about seeking Jesus. It's the greatest thing that any of us could ever do in our daily lives. And all it truly is walking hand in hand with our Savior every day of our lives. The last point that I would like to touch on before I close is what Jesus said in verse 14 of our reading this morning. He said, "Just as Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life." You'll remember that in Numbers chapter 21, the Hebrew people got themselves into trouble once again. Verses 4 to 9 tell us, "Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses. 'Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness?' they complained. 'There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna.' So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, 'We have sinned by speaking out against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes.' So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told him, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. The first point there is, don't complain. Give thanks instead. It will save you from many problems. Jesus told Nicodemus the story, a story that he would have been familiar with from the Jewish scriptures. Nicodemus knew that for the Hebrew people to live, for them to be saved from the poison of the snake, that they had to look at the bronze snake that was lifted up. Jesus said that he too had to be lifted up for people to be saved. Because people just can't save themselves from the poison of sin that we are all born with. And what they have to do is to look to him for the salvation so that they can live. As you know, Jesus was talking about his death upon the cross. It was the only sacrifice that could pay the penalty for our sins. He paid the price that we could never pay. And when I talk about sins, I'm not talking about those blatant ones that we sometimes see. I'm not talking about robbing banks. I'm also talking about our motives, our thoughts, and our words. Those things that we say and do that just miss the mark. We all had or have sin in our lives. As Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That all, whether we like it or not, includes you and me. We have all fallen short. And I know that I sometimes fall short every day. And without Jesus, without his sacrifice for me, my eternal destiny would be hell and not heaven. The only hope that I had wasn't in myself. It was in Jesus and in the fact that he was lifted high upon the cross for me. Could you imagine Jesus knowing that this was how his earthly life was going to end? He knew that he had come to die, so that when we looked to him for salvation, that we would live. But he did it willingly, because he loves us more than we will probably ever understand. Jesus had to be lifted up for people to be saved. But do you know what? Jesus still needs to be lifted up so that people can be saved. He doesn't need to be lifted up again upon the cross, but he does need to be lifted up in our lives. It is only when we turn away from living like the world, it is only when we allow Jesus to live in us and through us that others will be drawn to the Savior. As verse 21 tells us, but those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see that they are doing what God wants. When you and I lift up the name of Jesus every day in our lives, others will be drawn to Jesus and be saved. But if we are just living, acting and talking like our unsaved co-workers, our unsaved friends or neighbors, God's will that all people be saved will never happen through us. This Easter, we have to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And it is a sacrifice that you and I have to continue. We need to live like Jesus wants us to live. And we can only do that when Jesus is truly living on the inside of us. When we lift up the name of Jesus. When we do and say what God wants, others will notice, and they will be drawn not to ourselves, but to the Lord. Jesus told us in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 32, and I, when I am lifted up from this earth, I will draw all people unto me. When you and I live the way Jesus wants us to live, when we put him first in our lives, when we are led by the Spirit, when we are courageous enough to say no to the ways of the world and say no when our friends want us to do something that we know isn't honoring to God. Not only will they notice, God will use our lives to draw others to himself. We may think that Jesus did it all upon the cross. Well, he did. But you and I have some things to do as well. We need to seek him. We need to lift him up. Not just at Easter, but every day of our lives.